Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hi.
Hi, Desi. Desi's back in town.
What do we got going on here? Okay. Well, I have it's a grab bag of stories. I'm going to start with a story you said last week. This is our top story. Someone sent us something and you're like, this is our top story. So this was a story that was sold as Tucson teacher fired from teaching job due to OnlyFans account.
That was the headline.
But they left in a very important detail out of that headline. And I was confused because I didn't know this person had changed their name. Yes. So I was like, and then I looked at the picture and I was like, is that? And the person who sent us the link was like, yes, it's Rachel Dolezal.
Dolezal?
Who the fuck knows? She's changed her name.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Who reported this initially?
This story I have is Arizona Central. I don't know what the link was sent to us or who reported it first.
Because whoever reported it first, they literally buried the lead.
That's why I was so confused when the person sent us the link, because I was kind of like, I was like, why wouldn't they say Rachel Dolezal or whatever, however you say her name in the headline? It was truly confusing to me because when I saw the picture, you recognize that face right away,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We all know what she looks like and she hasn't changed her look at all. I was trying to see if I could find the tweet because you were, I think, replying to it as well. Oh, our top story. Let's see what it was. Let's see. This was sent to us from Evan. Breaking news, Tucson teacher loses job over OnlyFans account. Now, it doesn't say her name, but the picture.
It's Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah. And then when I clicked it, her name is different,
it's
right?
It's Nikechi Diallo.
Yeah. And it doesn't say anything in the headline still, like formerly known as or anything.
That's crazy.
So this was KVOA News for Tucson. It's like, do they not know?
Do they just think this is a random teacher in the area? They don't know. How does anybody in America not know who Rachel Dolezal is?
I have no idea. But if you don't remember, she was an NAACP leader in Spokane, Washington. She's white.
She was posing as a black woman.
She's posing as a black woman. She is white. And it was a huge story when that dropped. Yeah. So if you look at her, she has darkened her skin somehow, right?
Like a self-tanner.
And her hair is definitely, I don't know what she does to her hair.
She's had a variety of hairstyles, but she's had a variety of black hairstyles. She's done braids. She's obviously gotten some perms.
She's gotten a perm, yeah.
She's permed her hair to make it curly because we've seen pictures of Rachel as a child, and she has very naturally fine, straight hair.
And I think she dyes it darker, too.
Yeah.
Because it looks, I think when her teen years, it was definitely like more dirty blonde.
It was like strawberry blonde.
Yeah. Anyway, the story is basically that she was working part-time as an after-school instructor. That's a common thing. They keep the kids in school. Parents need that service. So that was the job she was doing. But she's famously had an OnlyFans account for a few years.
Did they not Google her before they hired her?
I have no idea. It's wild to me that someone doesn't know who she is, when she walks in.
Not that she doesn't, you know, she should be barred from working.
Oh, no. It's just funny.
But they should, Google, I mean, that she's famously had an OnlyFans.
Right. And whatever you think about teachers having an OnlyFans, I will say she probably shouldn't have been publicizing it in her social media bio, because that's basically where she got busted. Because schools have strict, I guess, rules, and you have to kind of abide by, if you're working in the school district, about your social media. I'm sure it covers a lot of different things. I don't really know what. But she had the link in bio to her OnlyFans on her public account.
Right.
So that's how she basically got busted. That broke some rules, I guess, about being professional. I don't know. So she lost her job.
But the real story is the buried lead.
The real story is the buried lead, because that was just wild to me.
They referred to Arizona teacher. This is not an Arizona teacher. This is Rachel Dolezal.
Right. That would be like calling Mary Kay Letourneau that or something.
Right.
Just like referring to them as like former teacher. Like, that's not what they're famous for.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
No, that was really crazy. So let's see what else we got. This story I haven't really followed that much, but I definitely want to look into it more. And maybe it could be a crazy episode. It's really sad. It's this mommy blogger, Ruby Frankie. She was accused of abusing her children. And obviously that's wild, because that's her whole thing, is being a mom online. And she got sentenced up to 60 years in prison.
I saw this.
She made a really weird speech when she was convicted, calling her baby her little chicks and that she's the mama duck. It's like, lose the mommy blogger lingo.
When you're being
fucked
sentenced
up. Like, right. You're not a mommy duck anymore, like, lady. Yeah. And then I guess she had some kind of weird accomplice who also got sentenced for abusing these poor children. I think she has 5 kids.
How long did she have this blog for? Was it a blog or a vlog?
I think it was a blog, but I'm sure at some point she also, ventured out into the vlogging world. They always do.
This is sadly not the first of this kind of story with some, not all, but a few. We've seen stories of this with mommy bloggers or vloggers.
Well, at some point that becomes more important than their actual kids.
Is the content.
Yes.
Which is sad.
But there is some kind of weird religious aspect to this whole case that I definitely am interested in. So I'll look more into that. I'm glad she is punished for this, because I always feel like child abusers get off pretty easy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that in this case that didn't happen. Okay. A little bit, let's go to some lighter stories. We'll break it up. This headline caught my eye. This is from Huffington Post. Weird news. One of my favorite
Your
stops.
Go-tos.
Texas man accused of putting antiques up his kilt-covered butt.
Okay.
Did you see this?
No.
So this is a man in Spring, Texas. He was wearing a kilt when he was arrested for a crime that can be truly be described as asinine.
Come on.
He was taking items for sale in an antique store and placing them in his anus.
While he was still in the store.
Yes.
So he was going into the store wearing a kilt, which is not a crime.
No.
But then he was finding antique candlesticks and the like.
Well,
what were the objects?
Let's see if it's in the story. But the real crime, I think, was that he was putting them up his anus and then putting them back on the shelf.
Right. That's a big crime. If you need to purchase those, go home and do that in the privacy of your own home.
Or just shoplift them. Don't put them back on the shelf after it's been up your ass for
exactly.
Some other person to get. Well, what do they do?
It's a bigger crime to put them back on the shelf.
I agree.
Because you can't even sterilize those at that point.
I mean, we want antiques in antique shops, but not that much patina.
Was this guy, was he arrested?
Yes. So the good news is we're going to find out what he stuck up his ass.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's the important details. And HuffPost, they're good with this, usually.
They'll give an update?
No, they'll tell us the details we want to know.
Because I need an update on the story.
Well, I'm going to give you what he put up there right now.
Oh, they have it
yes.
now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So He, as I mentioned, he was observed placing these items in his rectum and then putting them back on the shelves. Some of the items, this is a 60-year-old guy, by the way.
Mm.
I don't know why that's kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, it is. You think by 60, you learn to have a little bit of decorum.
Stop doing this shit. So he stuck up an antique makeup brush. We don't want to have that back on our shelves.
That's very not antibacterial.
An antique bottle opener and a tobacco tent can.
A can. What's the width of the can?
I don't know, but that sounds a little bigger. Like the brush you can see easily going.
It sounds like he did some anal training while he was in the shop. He first stuck up the brush, yeah, which is a thin width, and then he worked his way to the
bottle opener,
which could have a thicker width. And then he said, now I'm ready.
Give me that tobacco tent can. I'm guessing it's one of those sort of like metal vintage cans that mm-hmm. people kind of put on display, and probably like the thinner one. I'm guessing it's probably about like 3 inches wide and then like only like an inch deep.
That's still a good size for your ass.
And it's not smooth.
No, they have ridges.
And rust
on it. I think he needs to go to the doctor to see if he like got tetanus or something. Couldn't you get tetanus from that? Because you get like little cuts in your anus.
Look, you're the doctor.
Am I the doctor?
I don't know. Anyway, the total cost of these items was about $200, and they all had to be thrown away because of fecal contamination.
Yeah, you should throw them all away.
Because you got to think that rust can, that's like going in. It's not sealed. Yeah, it's porous.
Also, then you'd have to put like a tag on it that says, you know, $15 as is. And you have to put an as is.
As is, and disclaimer. Not explain the as is.
Right.
Asses. I mean, the truth of the matter is, we don't know that hadn't been done to those items back in the past.
Before they were sold to the antique shop.
Anyway.
This does make me want to go antiquing, though.
Absolutely.
I do love antique shopping.
I love it. There's one I want to go to in like Whittier that looks really good to me. Okay. I know you're very anti-AI.
I am.
So I have an AI story for you. Earlier this week, a scientific journal named Frontiers in Cell and Developmental Biology published a paper entitled Cellular Functions of Spermatogonial Stem Cells in Relation to JAK-STAT Signaling Pathway. In it, the researchers summarized their research on sperm stem cells, and they also used some AI-generated images for their paper. Now, this is published in a very serious science magazine, but unfortunately, these AI images, as many images that are AI produced are, were a little off.
Yeah.
And one of them was off in a very horrible way. Now,
what are these supposed to be images of? Cells?
Different cells. It is sperm related.
If you're a scientific publication and you're not providing photographic, like real photographic images of these cells, that seems very unprofessional.
Well, what do you think about this picture? Describe to our audience.
I'm scared. Wait a minute. Okay. This isn't a picture of a cell. This is supposed to be a diagram, basically.
It's a diagram of a rat.
It's a diagram of a rat, and this is AI produced?
Yes.
Okay. It looks like a cartoon rat hugging, or straddling a bisected testicle.
It's a rat with a giant cock.
Or a giant cock.
But there's a huge ball sack as well.
There's a ball sack. It looks like, and it's like a bisected, so you see the interior of it.
Right.
With like the veins and the nerve endings, and it's like weirdly blue. I don't like this, and I'm really disturbed that this was published.
And this created a huge controversy because I don't know if you can scroll in, but obviously it also has the gobbledygook words.
Oh, yeah, because this is upsetting.
Yeah.
This is from yonews.com. What the fuck is
it? Was Mashable, actually, the article. I don't know clicked over.
And then they linked to Y-O.
It was sad. It was in a lot of places.
I'm sure.
I just picked Mashable because I was like, they'll dumb it down for me.
Sometimes you gotta.
I was trying to look for like a USA Today, but they didn't cover this story. It's very funny though, because the rat has a massive dick, and even the rat's kind of like, whoa, because he's looking at his big hard on.
He can't believe the dick size is hard of it. Too. He can't believe the size of this unit. I don't even want to go into like my whole rant about AI, but we need to stop this now.
No, it's
because
crazy.
It's already getting scary and out of control.
It's crazy.
We need to stop this right now. Nobody, I already believe that layman's, I mean, because if this is happening with like scientists, that's scary.
Just put up other images. There were some other stupid images in, but the rat was the one that got the most attention for obvious reasons. But they just also put up like different graphs and stuff that were AI generated that just were gobbledygook and just looked stupid.
Yeah. No, I think my hot take has always been that AI should not be made for public use. Like randos like you and me should not be able to just like go to an AI website and generate stuff. It should not be made for public use. It should only be made like used in a scientific application.
Right.
But even though this is just an image, it's not like generating like data.
It doesn't give you confidence though.
But it still doesn't give you confidence that it can be responsibly used. I'm just very anti-AI. I think it's scary. I think there are so many examples of ways that it could be used for the bad, to harm people and to harm society. Plus, every single piece of AI art I've ever looked at has chilled me to my core.
No, it's really
it's sick.
Bad. Not even
the ones that have like six fingers. I'm talking about even the ones that are like kind of look okay. Like there's something off about them.
There's always something off.
It's uncanny valley.
So I do have two more stories. I'm going to probably skip one because maybe it's too sad.
Yeah, skip the sad one.
I'm going to skip a sad one, and I'm going to end on one that is very one that everyone is talking about, and that is the woman who got scammed of $50,000 and wrote about it in The Cut. Did you see this?
Of course I saw it, but I never read it. And I subscribed to The Cut.
Well, this is a crazy story. So basically, in a nutshell, I'm going to give you some details. This is a woman. Her name is Charlotte Coles. She's actually a financial writer. So that's her gig.
Yeah.
She wrote a piece in The Cut that was basically kind of like, if it can happen to me, it can happen to anyone type thing. And obviously the internet was like, actually, that absolutely could not happen to me. A lot of it's because I don't have $50,000 to give to someone.
Yeah.
But, so basically what happens, she receives a phone call from a woman pretending to be customer service at Amazon. She's there to verify that this woman, Charlotte Coles, had made various purchases on Amazon. And she's like, I haven't made those purchases. Then she connects her to, an official with the Federal Trade Commission who is investigating fraud at Amazon. And he reads off some personal information to her to confirm her identity. And that really convinces her that her identity has been used by scammers to not only purchase this stuff at Amazon, but open up 24 bank accounts, purchase vehicles, properties. And he even makes an elaborate claim that her name has been used to commit multiple crimes.
Oh, my God.
So he at that point is like, I need to put you in touch with a CIA agent, because this is even deeper than we initially thought.
Jesus.
So then he connects her to a CIA agent and he sends her photos of his badge. I'm sorry.
Photos
of his badge. Then he tells her she needs to withdraw as much cash as she possibly can from her bank account because her accounts are about to be frozen. Because this fraud case is going to be investigated. He says, then she needs to give the cash to an undercover agent who will then come back to her apartment the next day and give her a government check instead.
No, see, that's where I would tap out.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm not saying it would get this far with me, but that's the part where I'd be like, well, what does it matter if I have the cat? It's my cash. What does it matter if it's, isn't it safer?
Why do I need to give you the cash and get a check? That doesn't make sense.
If you're just going to give it back to me.
So she does this, and obviously the whole time in her article, she's like, I wasn't sure about this, but they knew this piece of information. Look, people can find out almost everything about you online if they're trying, right? That's especially so these scammers. Scary. And obviously all of this unease was confirmed because she was unable to connect with the officer or the agent again after she gave them this money. So she literally went down to this car and just handed them a shoebox full of $50,000 in cash.
Was it even like a Lincoln car? Like a town car? What was it? What kind of car was it?
I don't know.
It's like someone's Celica and she just goes downstairs.
I would hope she would have not done it at that point. And obviously this is also one of the things where it's like, don't tell your husband. We need to keep him safe and protected. Just like all of the typical type things.
I was willing to give her the benefit of the doubt because I am a dumb bitch, but now she's lost me.
I have to be honest. I am very sympathetic to senior citizens, elderly people who get scammed. People who maybe don't have as much knowledge about this kind of stuff.
Of course. But she's a financial writer.
I feel like at this point in this day and age, you got to know at this point not to do this kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like,
if this were me, I'd need more verification than just talking on the phone with someone. I would be like, let me go to my local office, like a local like government office where I can discuss this with some law enforcement or some official.
You want to go into a place
in person.
Absolutely.
Or go to your bank.
I mean, this is like definitely where my cynicism and not trusting anybody ever pays off. It definitely hinders me in certain areas. Also, but as far as getting scammed, it definitely helps me here because I probably wouldn't believe someone who was trying to help me.
Also, we don't answer our phones anymore.
No.
Like
no.
Are boomers still the only generation that answers their phone?
She's not even that old. That's the crazy thing.
How old is she?
I think she might be like in her late 30s, early 40s.
Okay. She's a millennial.
No, she's not like.
She's a millennial. Why is she answering her phone to random numbers? We don't do that.
Dude, her husband must be pissed too.
I would be pissed.
I would be like, why didn't you call me immediately? I don't care if someone tells you not to. Like if someone's telling you not to do things where you're going to have some backup, I think there's a title I was reading about it. There's like, it's something called like scammers use like a no exit technique, which means you have nowhere to go to find out information because you're not, it's like, don't go there. Because if you log into that account, they'll get your password. You know what I mean? They like kind of box you in
they
a way.
Psychologically freak you out.
Right. And I guess a bigger example of that is like, I'll kill your whole family if you tell or you call a cop or whatever, like that kind of thing.
And that's scary.
So yeah, she's a writer for multiple things with financial advice. She's like a financial advice columnist, which makes this even crazier. Obviously everyone was pretty mean to her online because a lot of people just can't believe that she fell for this.
I mean,
she's a little unsympathetic and she does admit that it's very embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. And I do have sympathy to a degree that she's getting attacked so much online, but I agree with you that if I was the husband, I would be pissed.
I think her point is I wanted to tell everybody and this could happen to anyone. Which is good, I guess, because she did embarrass herself in order maybe to help somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's no skin off our necks. It's not our money.
No, and clearly she's someone who can have $50,000 on hand. And it's probably not going to devastate her, even though obviously it's a lot of money.
Well, she drained her account.
But she's still like a person who has money. Like
savings.
Yeah, and stuff like that.
Right.
So this is her. So she's young.
Dude. That's crazy. I see. I'm glad you told this story because I had the article saved and I kept forgetting to read it.
It's definitely worth reading because as you're reading it, you are definitely sort of like, come on. Yeah. Like every time something happens, you're like, seriously, like, first of all, why are you still on the, like, I would never be on the phone for 5 hours. Like this is like a 5 hour. Yes. They kept her on the line through like switching her to different people, having her do things for 5 hours.
So this is like an operation.
Yes. Yes. It definitely reminded me because I just watched that movie, The Beekeeper, and it has like a similar, you know, you're seeing these kind of phone scammers.
Yeah.
I mean, it is sick to do that to somebody. I fucking hate it. But you really can't do anything online or over the phone. Like just go into a place.
I need to talk to face to face.
Also, no one is like connecting you to the CIA agent. Do you know what I mean? Like no one's doing that. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
What does the CIA have to do with this?
Why do they give a shit that this random woman
doesn't deal with this type of one-on-one thing, a woman getting scammed?
Not even the FBI.
I don't think so. Until you're scammed, maybe then you're a witness or something, but like she doesn't have any inside info. Like what is she going to tell them?
This is crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, just logically, why would you need to give cash to the CIA?
I just feel like, yes, it would be scary if someone's like, all these expensive purchases were made on your Amazon.
Of course.
Would freak anybody out. But should also raise some eyebrows. Like, you should be like, well, wait a minute. Let me check. Or like, I'm not going to have to pay for this because I didn't do it. Like,
well, because the first thing I would do was go to my Amazon account and look and see if anything was recently purchased.
But I think they're like, oh, it's a different account that you don't know about.
Well, I'd go to my bank website.
I mean, it's just all of it is stupid.
I'd open my banking app and see what purchases. And it would,
no, none of it makes sense.
And naturally it would say, you know, Postmates.
Yeah.
And not this.
Absolutely. But yeah, I think most of us would dip when they were like, put money, go to the bank.
Yeah.
It's like, look, we had fun at my house on the phone, but I'm not leaving my house to go to the bank and get 50. Like, that's where I'm like, ah, fine, I'll take the scam. I probably won't have to pay for it anyway because they'll know, right? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I just thought I would bring up that story because everyone was talking about it. And I do kind of love those stories where everyone's like, what would you do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's rare when you get one where it's so one-sided. Because everyone's like, no, that would never happen to me. Sorry. I want to be supportive of victims. But like this is one where I'm like, no, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I could see it happening up to a point, but then, yeah.
The only one I've ever done, which was like 20 years ago, like when I first probably was using internet, was like I got a notice from my bank and I sent my PIN number. Because they're like, you have to change your PIN number. There's been fraud.
Oh my God.
And the funny thing was, I was like, I did it. And it's not like, I didn't lose any money. I didn't have much money in my bank account. And I did get it all back. But I do remember when I was doing it, I was like, look at me. I'm not procrastinating.
Oh,
I'm doing it right away. Like the one time I didn't put something off, like, oh, I'll deal with that later. I was like, ooh, I'm going to do it right away. I'm an adult.
Oh my God.
Fix my password. And I was so proud of myself.
Oh my God.
But that was a different time period. Now I would never do that because I get fraud things all the time.
No. Have you noticed like recently there's been so like you get tons of text messages that are
yes.
like your package has been delivered
yes.
to the warehouse.
Okay. The USPS one.
You get fake USPS text messages that are like, we need your information because your package was not delivered to the warehouse.
No, I get that literally once a week. And I also get emails now where it's like, thank you so much for your purchase.
Right.
And so it's like hoping I'll be like, what purchase?
We got one recently sent to the Hollywood crime scene email.
Oh.
And I remember I texted you.
Oh, right.
I texted you a screenshot. I was like, did you buy this? Like,
yeah,
through our PayPal account or whatever.
But that's what you do, right? You ask people.
I just asked you and you were like, no. So I was like, oh, it's obviously a scam.
That's weird, though, when you start getting them in a new place that you haven't before. Do you know what I mean? Like our business account or whatever.
Just leave me alone. Like, stop scamming people.
I always want to write back, like, what are you doing? You better stop, sir.
Why? It's like, don't scam me.
Stop sending these emails to people. You're evil.
I'm a regular person. Yeah. I am not a wealthy person. Please.
Well, that's the thing. It's always just poor people or regular people.
Yeah.
Giving their life savings.
Go scam Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk.
Why don't you do that?
If you're
going to
scam.
We'd all be happy.
We don't care. Because they can afford to whatever.
Yeah, it's fine. Drain their bank account. Put them back on the block. We'll take care of them.
We just...
Yeah. No, I agree. It sucks.
It really sucks. Just don't scam.
Please stop scamming.
Please stop scamming people. I don't appreciate it. Let's take a break here. We'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Desi, should we tell our listeners about our new Patreon offering?
Yes. So right now, you can get a free 7-day trial if you've been wanting to check out our Patreon but weren't sure about it. Now you have no reason not to.
Yeah, it's free. Free for 7 days when you sign up. At patreon.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. We'll have a link in the show notes. We just recorded a brand new recap of our Ashley Simpson show. And we will also be posting our 4th installment of our Law & Order SVU recap. The Ashley Simpson, that's at the $5 tier. Law & Order comes at the $10 tier. But that's not all you get at those tiers.
That's just the latest thing.
Those are just some of the latest things. We also have, we have 500 posts.
Yeah. And you get ad-free episodes as well.
And every episode that appears on this feed, like the mini episodes and the main episodes, those are all ad-free on Patreon.
And I also wanted to say, in the past, you were charged on the first of the month, regardless of when you joined. That is no longer the case. Patreon now basically bills you whatever day you join. That's the day you get billed the next month. So you don't have to worry about joining at the end of the month and then getting charged on the first again.
Right.
I just wanted to highlight that so that you don't have to wait.
Yeah.
You can just go right now. You don't have to be like, well, I'll wait till the first.
And that's a good thing.
It's really good because we obviously don't want people to be joining on the 31st and then get charged the next day.
Yeah.
And that definitely has happened in the past. We don't obviously make those payments. We don't sit here with our credit card machine swiping things. It's all done online. So we had no, we couldn't do anything about it except for put it in our notes. Like, don't do that.
If you don't want to be double charged.
If you don't
want to
be double
so
charged.
Quickly.
Like, so I'm happy that that was finally an option. So we can also promote the Patreon all the time.
And next up, our next Law & Order episode we're going to be talking about is the famous Benson Goes Undercover at a Rave.
Oh my God.
Which is a classic.
Yes.
Where we get to see Benson dressed like a candy raver.
That's really funny.
And we love that.
Yes.
Anyway, okay. Just wanted to give a little plug for those. Should we get into what we've been watching?
Yes.
Well, the big one.
Well.
The big one is obviously Love is Blind, which the 6th season came out on the 14th.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And wow, what a season it's been.
It is by far my favorite season.
Agreed.
It's the best season.
It's the best season.
Like from the get-go. Do you know what I mean?
From episode one.
Yeah. It is so good.
We're going to be doing a mega recap, a two-part mega recap on Cara Berry's podcast. We're going to record our first installment of that on Saturday.
Right. We've recapped that with her for a few seasons. We skipped last season because I think it was not good.
Yeah, wasn't that good?
So but, Netflix really redeemed themselves.
Oh my God, it was so fucking good. So Kara's podcast is Everyone's Business But Mine. If you're not subscribed to that, we will, of course, post on our socials
right
when that episode is out. It should be up pretty soon. And
I
then
think, yeah.
And then when the last batch of episodes come out, we're going to do another recap with her to finish out the season.
I'm excited. I haven't finished this block.
Okay.
I think I'm on 8.
I just have so many opinions that I need to share with you guys that yeah. I've just sort of been... Because we have like a group DM, obviously, and I don't want to like blow my wad now discussing
right.
it.
Save
all my
it for
takes,
the show.
But it's been hard not to just want to talk about everything.
Well, the great thing about this show is when it's good, you really get shocked by behavior of people you thought you liked. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think that's what's so interesting about this particular reality show is they're so good at utilizing like whiplash because it's at pretty much even the lesser seasons. That's a common theme on this show is that you start out having one opinion about a cast member and then right. it could be the next episode or it could be 4 episodes down the line where there's this 180 degree turn
oh.
and they're suddenly a monster.
And this is like happening for like 90% of the people on this show right now for me.
There's like 2 people on this show. This hasn't happened yet.
Right. There's literally only 2 pretty likable people. I mean, there's some other likable people, but like 2 where it's like, we all agree on these 2 kind of thing, I think.
Are you talking about in terms of as a couple? Or
as a couple, there's definitely a few people I like where it's like, what are you doing?
Well, that's how I feel about AD.
Yeah, AD is definitely like, what are you doing, girl? Like,
I've always liked AD since episode 1, and my opinion about her as like a person hasn't changed, but her choices make me sad.
Yes, and I'm just saying there's pretty much, for me, 1 couple where I'm like, that's probably the only one that's going to happen.
Johnny and Amy. Honestly, yeah. Who gives a shit? Because they're just
the boring couple.
They're the boring, happy couple.
Right.
And they're both seem like perfectly lovely people.
And any of their drama, it's kind of like they just trying to give them something. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where it's kind of like they're going to work it out.
No, the person I was shocked at how much of a, that I gasped the most that their behavior was Laura. Where I went from pretty neutral on her to by the end of episode 6, I hated her.
I would say for me, the biggest mind-blowing what the fuck is Kenneth.
Oh, well, that is, yes. I would say Kenneth is the most mind-blowing.
Only because I didn't really ever like Laura or know her really that well.
No, I was neutral about her at best. I was neutral about her.
Yeah.
So for me to go from neutral to being like, oh, you're shitty. I don't like what she did to AD.
I still have questions about what was that? Is crazy. Like the whole thing is crazy to me. Like, I feel like, am I missing a piece of information here? Like,
I just feel like I don't know.
It's crazy.
It makes me icky the way that she discussed AD's body and made her body the subject of like that kind of, oh, it's fine if we just slap your titties around. Who cares? Like, I don't know.
It's beyond. It's over the top. Like, it's not just commenting. It was like joking about touching her.
It's
like,
not
you don't
okay.
do that. No,
it's not okay.
No, but with Kenneth, to me, I'm like, that guy is, there's something wrong with him. Like,
that was shocking.
I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
Because
it's just rude.
I was rooting for them. And then all of a sudden,
I just was kind of bored by them. And I was like, whatever. Like, they're religious, right? They're both kind of Christian.
They're set
so
up for this.
I never really get the motivations of Christians. Like, I don't really get it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, they seem happy, they love God. They talk about God. I'll never have that connection with someone, so I don't really get it. And I can see why that would be important to them. But that makes it even more shocking, though, when a Christian God person is kind of like fucked up. I mean, it's not shocking in general because that's why I don't fuck with that. But like in the way he did it was very weird to me.
Well, he seemed like such a nice guy, and he really genuinely did seem really into her.
Right. And she's like, seems perfectly nice and she's pretty and like whatever.
I have no problem with her. She seems like a very nice girl. It just, it was shocking.
Well, it was a very classic Love is Blind couple where you're like, those two would never have met or maybe gone out in the real world.
Right.
Not because either one of them is hideous or anything. They just probably didn't run in the same circles or whatever. So it was kind of like when you're like, oh, that would be cool if it worked out. Cause they're so, such a, you know, a couple you would never put together maybe.
But they're so cute together.
Yes.
They were so cute together, I think.
You saw the connection in the pods.
Yeah, and I felt like they both had such a respect for each other. And then
yes,
there
they
was,
seemed they really respected each other. That's what's crazy.
Disrespect happened.
It's a weird, I won't get into it, I'll save it for a pod, but it's like a disrespect I don't think I've ever quite seen in a show like this. Like, it's a new disrespect.
It's a different kind of disrespect.
Yeah. It's a little more passive.
It's a passive disrespect.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We will get into the weeds with Kara for sure.
Yeah. It'll be like a 10-hour episode.
Oh,
probably.
It's going to be super, it's going to be long. That's why I'm glad we're breaking it up this year.
You gotta with this one. Because there's just too much.
This season, there's too much. Like,
there's been several times I've literally been like,
I've gasped.
Like, gasped out loud.
Gasped.
Like, and that's just like crazy. And every episode, I feel like, has one of those moments.
Every episode ends on a cliffhanger. Even like the last episode where I didn't, the latest one where you don't really think anything's happening, it ends on, I can't wait for you to get to it.
Is it episode 8 or 9?
Episode 9.
Okay.
So it's, I mean, I was like devastated when I was like, that's it. I have to wait a week.
That's, why do they do that with this show?
It's so weird. They always do that. They roll out 6 episodes, then they make you wait a week. Then they roll out 3, then they make you wait a week. Then they roll out the final episodes, and then a week, and then the tell-all.
It's crazy. It's a really weird format, and I need to know why.
I bet they like scientifically figured out some like psychological addictive reasoning.
No, there is definitely something behind this choice, because then we have a week to like dissect online where if it all dropped at once, maybe we'd all just rush through it and just talk about the end.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm glad it's not all out, because I do kind of like that it stays in the conversation for a few weeks.
Yeah. It's funny because I was up with my nieces and we were watching, we wanted like a stupid show to watch at the end of the night because we were really busy days walking around and eating. And so we would just lounge. And initially we were watching the new season of The Bachelor, which I have to say is one of the better Bachelor seasons I've ever watched. I don't watch it every season, but it was really good.
Yeah.
Then I remembered that Love is Blind has dropped and we immediately switched over to Love is Blind.
Yeah.
But I am going back now and watching. I caught up to The Bachelor because that comes out weekly.
Yeah.
So there was like 5 episodes and we kind of binged them. But it's pretty good too. If you want another dating type show, it's pretty juicy because there's a few villain girls.
Love it.
Like girls creating some drama, which is really always makes it fun. And The Bachelor is pretty, it's a pretty good bachelor. He's very therapy speak. He knows all the things to say.
Wait, good ironically or good not ironically?
I think pretty good. And I'm sincere.
He's sincere. So that means some horrible information is going to come out about him in like 4 months.
Right.
Is that what's going to happen?
Probably. He's kind of cute. He's from Philly.
Nice. So, I love that.
And he's very caring to the girls. I think he was an ex-contestant who had his heart broken.
Oh.
Like he was like the final guy that got rejected.
Yeah.
At the altar. And he was literally going to propose and she's like, stop.
Maybe he is a good guy.
I think he is kind of a good guy. But you know, that's all relative.
I forget. Do they still make the guys propose on The Bachelorette or do the girls propose?
I haven't watched A Bachelorette, but it looked like in this clip I saw of him, he was about to get down on one knee and she's like, no, 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 no.
Oh.
And he was like sobbing.
Oh my God.
I know. I felt bad for him because that's really playing into this season a bit because he's like, I'm really worried. I'm going to get my heart broken again.
Be rejected.
It's like, that's not going to happen. These girls are, they all want to get married.
Yeah.
They love it. They love you. Like, cause you know, they come on now seeing him. So
right.
They all want to go out with the heartbreak guy.
Yeah.
And he is kind of cute.
They're going to heal his wounds.
I also like, I was seeing, maybe Allie was talking about it where like, he's kind of like shorter.
He's a short king.
Yeah. And by that, I mean like 5'9", 5'10". Like,
short for bachelor standards.
Yeah, short for bachelor. Probably average height for everyone else. So that's, people are speculating, like, that's why he's so sensitive. He's a short king.
He's not even short.
I know. I was like, come on.
He's not, 5'9 is not, I wouldn't.
I was like, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if his mom is a therapist. Because he just uses that really validating language when someone's revealing. He's like, thank you so much for being vulnerable with me. I'm listening and I really appreciate, like, he does all of those kind of nice things to hear.
Yeah.
But it's sincere.
Right.
It's just rare to see that on TV, especially when you're putting it up next to Love is Blind.
Oh my God.
Where none of those guys seem like they've gone to therapy at all.
None of them.
And don't know how to communicate. Like, at all.
Every guy with the exception of Johnny.
Yeah.
I mean, because all we've seen of Johnny is he seems perfectly fine and sweet.
Yeah.
And he's cute and whatever. He seems like a fun guy.
Yeah.
The right mix of fun and sincere. But every other man on this season, and look, not to say that the women are our prize pigs themselves.
Oh, they're absolutely not.
They're absolutely just as bad. With the exception of, I think, AD and Amy and Brittany. I like Brittany.
I like Brittany.
Okay, so I like three of the girls.
But that's, I mean, that's how you know it's a good season. Because even three of the girls, or is it three girls?
How many?
It's Chelsea. Whatever. A few of the girls are also pieces of work.
Chelsea and Laura, I don't like.
But there's also girls.
Oh, the other girls.
The other girls, Jessica. Coming back. The rejected girls who are pieces of work as well.
Jessica is very divisive on Reddit.
Oh, really?
Well, I think Reddit has, Love is Blind Reddit has generally concluded that they don't like Jessica. And I think people have taken umbrage with her use of her daughter on her TikTok, that it's like very.
Okay.
They, you know, people have accused her of using her daughter for content on TikTok.
Right.
And, I don't know.
I don't really like Jessica. I don't dislike her. I'm, like you said, kind of neutral.
I'm neutral on Jessica. I really, that's, of all the girls, there's no way that she's even comes close to someone I have the most issues with.
No. I do feel like Sarah is a troublemaker.
Sarah Ann?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, big time. She kind of hinted at some point, right? But that she was going to do something. Like, she's not going down lightly.
She is not going down lightly.
No. I mean, Jeremy's psychotic, but like...
Jeremy... I wrote this on Twitter yesterday that, like, Jeremy, one of his, like, big personality traits is how neat and tidy he is and whatever. He's too... Like, when we get to his apartment, he's too tidy to me.
Look, there's a... It's great when someone is neat and tidy, but there becomes a line you can cross where it's a little sterile.
It's sterile.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's sterile.
And it's like, you don't even live here. Nothing looks used.
It doesn't look lived in. It looks, his apartment looks like a prop, like a set. It looks like a hotel room.
It's also like weird when it's a guy. For some reason, it's a little creepier to me because it's very like American Psycho or something.
Because it's giving American Psycho.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
but he doesn't even have like. I mean, it's just there's nothing remarkable. I mean, at least Patrick Bateman had art on his walls.
No, I mean,
at least he had interesting furniture.
Jeremy is like interesting because I never really got him, but I just thought he was kind of a boring nerd or something.
I had sympathy towards Jeremy, and I thought I had like kind of positive feelings about him, and I did feel bad for him because Laura kept doing this irritating thing, nitpicking him and making him feel bad about his Hawaiian shirts. And I felt like
that was wrong.
The way she said it was cruel, and she kept and she was just rude to him about it, and critics, she's overly critical of him on things that didn't need to be criticized like that.
It's also like you knew what you were getting into.
Because he said it in the pods. He says he loves to wear Hawaiian shirts. And then she's like, oh, I can fix that. And she was just so mean to him about it. So I had a lot of sympathy for him on that front. But I'm not going to say what happens in episode 9, but I don't like what he did. This doesn't change how I feel about Laura. But let me just say she has a right to be upset.
No, I just never saw their connection either. It definitely seemed like we're going to pick someone.
Because she wants to change too much about him.
Yeah.
And look, he's not my kind of guy. I need a guy who I could never live in a house with him. And I consider myself a fairly clean person.
No, but you don't want someone who's always looking at what you've done or like, do you know what I mean? Like noticing everything.
Well, you probably like living with him, you'd feel like you could never relax ever because he'd always be like, that dish needs to be out of the sink right now.
Yes. That's irritating.
And there's no art on his walls. There's no personal pictures. There's no personality. It's everything's beige. It's just too sterile, like you said.
He's also like the kind of guy who's into fitness, but it's like a weird addiction. Do you know what I mean?
Like, there's something that feels unwell about him.
Yeah, it's like he's kind of controlling, I think.
Yeah, there's some of those. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
The thing I said on Twitter yesterday is like, this is not a man who would ever fuck you on your period because that's unsanitary to him.
No, and if he did it the whole time, he'd be thinking about he needs to change the sheets or replace them. Do you know what I mean?
Like, he'd want to replace the sheets. I don't think this guy ever has like spontaneous sex because he's worried about making a mess.
No, I think if he does it the whole time, he's trying to prove a point and just like whatever. No, I'm so into this season. They got me again.
So good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And it's truly for me the best season ever.
I agree.
It's so good. I don't know how they do it.
It's so good.
It should be called Love Isn't Blind, though.
I saw somebody make a point that I disagree with today on Twitter. They were like, Love is Blind. She was like, Love is Blind is like conservative propaganda.
Oh, I saw that.
Love is Blind is conservative propaganda because it's showing all these people that, you know, this heteronormative view. And I'm like, if anything, it's the opposite of, like, it's showing how dark that is, that this traditional heteronormative lifestyle is.
Right, that people are so desperate for that, they are willing to do this to get it. That's not normal.
No, I thought it's like, yes, maybe a lot of the cast members have traditional cis heteronormative views about partnership. Maybe, yes, of course, there are lots of cast members who feel that way, but that's not what's being projected to me is like, you know, how dark that can also be.
No, I mean, I
don't know what that take was.
I feel like people always have to come up with these weird sociological takes about how it indicates something about society or something. It's like, just watch the show.
It's love is blind.
There's nothing deep here. Like,
no.
It's a bunch of crazy people who want to be on TV and do this. So what you're going to get is people willing to do that, right? Like,
right.
So already you're dealing with like a lesser type of like.
Well, you're dealing with someone who's either so desperate to get married that they're willing to put everything out on Front Street.
Yeah.
And spend 2 weeks in a pod trauma bonding with other people into getting engaged.
At some point I was like, does anyone not have a story? On The Bachelor too, it's like every single girl, he has a talk with every single girl at some point. I was like, is anyone on this show not have some horrific tragedy they're recovering from?
See,
it's crazy.
This is why you could never do these. I mean, I would want to see it, but this is why it would break that narrative is because you'd be talking about getting molested, but also cracking jokes about it at the same time.
No, I wouldn't be in tears. Like these girls are all in tears.
Yeah.
Like, this is a serious thing, and I'm not saying it shouldn't be.
I'm just saying, Desi, would they edit around that?
No, they'd be like, I'd be the crazy one. But like, no one picks her. There's no way. Or maybe Trevor. I mean, I'd get Trevor.
I love Trevor.
I like Trevor too. And he's like, he's an example of someone I was like, oh boy, he's probably going to be really picky about girls' bodies.
No.
Because he's like a fitness guy.
No, he's not that guy.
But he's like the opposite of what I thought. So that's like a good thing.
I love Trevor. Trevor was like pretty much the best guy besides Johnny because he's a nice guy. But Trevor seemed like the person who you would be able to not only have fun with, but also be serious with.
Well, I don't want to talk too much about it, but I do want to just hit one more point and see what you think about this. I've seen a lot of people speculate that they think the reason Chelsea picked Jimmy was to beat Jess.
100% I believe that.
I do too.
Conspiracy theory.
I do too.
As soon as I saw someone bring that up, I said, yeah, in the back of Chelsea's mind, she thought, it's better for me to win over the quote unquote hot girl, the Instagram baddie, because Jess looks like an Instagram baddie.
Yes.
It's better because Chelsea's so goddamn insecure. She needed to beat her.
Yeah.
Rather than follow her heart and pick the guy she was more compatible with.
Because Jimmy is boring. There's literally no reason
to
want him.
He's so boring.
Like, it's crazy to me that he had two girls fighting over him.
It's crazy to me that he's never been with anybody who has tattoos or a nose piercing.
I can't with him. He's so boring to me.
He's so boring.
Chelsea is so bad at it, makes me like root for Jimmy. Like,
even though he's not good.
No, I know, but it's like, I was like, I get where he's coming from. Like, he's done some things that have made me laugh out loud, though, not intentionally. But yeah, I'm excited to go into the nitty gritty because I have literally a million thoughts.
No, and we're just scratching the surface. I know we're spending a little time talking about it here, but we will, like, there's so much more to talk about.
Yeah. Okay.
Really.
We'll promote it, obviously, when we're up, and hopefully that will be soon. Because I think she posts her episodes pretty fast.
I think she'll post it pretty quickly because the next batch will be coming out.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
What am I going to do for the next 2 days?
I know. I'm kind of excited. I have 1.5 episodes still.
Dude, I can't wait for you to get to the end of episode 9.
I'm excited.
You need to text me or post in the group chat.
Okay.
Anyway, honestly, that was like the most exciting thing I watched this week. Obviously, Drag Race is still going on. I've been watching Drag Race España, which I'm really enjoying. It's a really great international spinoff of the franchise. I'm watching season 1 of España, and my favorite queen is, her name is Poopy Poison.
Oh my God.
And she's like an older queen. I always love the older queens.
Me too. Me too.
Even though they're like 38.
And they're always like gone week 1 or 2.
No,
usually.
She's like one of the top queens.
Oh, good.
And I really love her. She's really, she has such a fun personality, and she's shady.
Sometimes I don't think they like the older style queens on Drag Race America, like the US one. Do you know what I mean?
They have an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
But a lot of my favorite queens are the older
Me
ones.
Me too.
Like, I'm a huge Darian Lake fan.
Oh, God. You know who's so funny is, I don't know if you've listened to her podcast, Delta.
I don't listen to it.
She'll post clips on her Instagram that are so funny. She's so funny.
Yeah.
I love seeing her.
I should listen to the show.
Yeah, she's great. But check out the clips. She's very funny. And she's such an old school queen. I love her.
I love that.
She's very funny.
But I do love, I obviously listen to Willem and Alaska's recaps.
Oh, I saw Alaska's doing a show. We have to go.
Let's go.
It's called Oops, Alaska Did It Again.
I'm into it.
It's in downtown LA, I think, at the end of March. I want to go.
We're going.
Okay, good.
It's happening.
Yay.
We can bring Brendan. He's a fan of Alaska too.
Who isn't? I love her.
I love her too.
She's so good.
And Willem is honestly one of the funniest people alive.
No, I was so glad when you started listening to that pod because it is so
good together.
I used to be crying laughing in my car, and I could never explain it to you because it's just those moments you can't really explain, like where they do one of those little soundboard things or just something.
It's always the foghorn sound effect for me.
No, them together because Alaska's like the good girl in that combo.
And but Willem will just say the out of pocket shit,
and Alaska is always just kind of like
giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Like, no, I'm just like, no, Willem is a love Willem.
Ugh.
Yeah, love it.
Anyway, should we move on into what did you eat? Because
we have a lot of food.
Should we start with this menu I have?
Okay.
I was privileged to be taken to a fabulous 10-course tasting menu at the Michelin-starred restaurant Mansky.
I'm so jealous because they're closing.
This is very sad. Mansky and the and its sister restaurant, Bicyclette, which is upstairs or downstairs. I don't know. It's like attached to the same building. They're both closing March 1st.
Okay.
Which is very sad. This is the same husband and wife team behind one of our favorite restaurants in LA, Republique.
Yes.
Which Desi and I
have. And we talked about going to Manska.
We've talked about going here. So they do like a tasting menu. It's very like, you know, shit you see on Chef's Table.
Right.
Where it's like a once in a lifetime meal.
You're getting little things.
Everything is tiny and every bite is perfect. And there's gelées and foams and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So they gave me a menu to take home. I went with Brendan. He took me there for Valentine's Day. And we began with a tostada. And that we got a little, this is what I like. The waiter, he told us, I mean, we had like six waiters like doing different things. It's like very choreographed.
Yeah.
Because they have someone pouring the thing.
They
and
got things to do.
They whipping this and spooning it onto your plate and whatever. So they gave us a little story. They're like, Chef Mansky grew up in San Diego and was very inspired by the fish tacos he ate as a kid.
Mm.
So this dish is a representation of that or interpretation of that.
Ooh.
So it was like a little teeny tiny cylindrical tower of chopped raw ahi tuna. Sitting in a like on a basket, like a little like blue corn crispy tortilla,
right?
With some guacamole at the bottom. It was just like a bite,
yeah.
And then it came with a shot of salsa, like salsa water, basically, like inspired by the flavors of salsa. It was like clear. It was a clear liquid, but it tasted like salsa.
That's food of the future.
It was. And I have to mention the other thing. They made my entire tasting menu non-alcoholic. So
wow.
Brendan had the alcoholic version. So he had wines and spirits come with each course.
Right.
They gave me non-alcoholic beverages every single course.
Cute.
So this, I had a non-alcoholic margarita.
Like
was
it tiny?
It was tiny.
Oh, because you're holding your hand like this. I picture this little margarita glass.
No, it was. It was a teeny tiny shot of like, you know, lime and salt flavor, basically. No alcohol. Then we had Norwegian king crab with a blood orange gelée, and it came with a Lycerod sparkling tea.
What? What's
I don't
Lycerod?
Know. Look, they explained to me what things were, and I still didn't get it.
Yeah.
I still didn't get it. But
this is like molecular gastronomy.
Some of it really was.
Yeah.
And so this was like a scoop of Norwegian king crab salad over this like blood orange jelly. It looked like a flower.
I always like tasting menus, but there is always going to be a part of me that's like, I want more of that though. Do you know what I mean? Like,
let me tell you the one thing I wanted more of. Well, there were a couple things.
Yeah.
Okay. So my one of my favorites was the Monterey Bay Red abalone. And this came with a custard, like a savory egg custard underneath and caviar.
Yum.
It was so umami. Like that's the only way to describe it.
Yeah.
It was just like very rich. Then we got a brioche.
Yum.
They gave us a laminated brioche in the shape of a cylinder. It was looked like very compressed. I posted it on my stories. But it was basically like a cylindrical croissant.
Yum.
It was so good. And that came with butter from Normandy.
Yum.
So this butter mountain was wheeled to the table. And they just would scrape like a scoop of butter, like it was ice cream, off of this butter mountain. And then give it to you in a dish. And the butter sommelier or whatever she was explained to us like the fucking region and the butter maker. And they had a picture of the butter maker. And they said, it's recommended you try the butter on its own as well.
Don't have to tell me twice.
Don't have to tell me I stuck a fork in that butter and I just started eating it. It was very good.
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to read like everything, but the thing that I definitely wanted more of was the chanterelle mushroom caramel, which was little pastas filled with this chanterelle mushroom, so like a ravioli, but they were in the shape of like candies, like a wrapper, like a hard candy wrappers. So they were in that kind of shape. And then it was sitting in a very caramelized, reduced, like, chicken jus.
Yum.
So it was super concentrated. They called it a caramel, and I could see why. And then that they shaved black truffles on top of it.
Ooh, yum.
That was like, give me more of that.
Yeah.
I wanted, I mean, everything was good.
Always with the pasta, they never give you enough.
No, these were tiny little pieces of
yeah.
pasta, and I wanted more. Then we got a quail, whole ranch quail, and that was delicious because they did like an a l'orange sauce.
Yum.
And it was the teeniest, tiniest piece of, it was like a quarter of an ounce of quail, but it was like the most delicious thing I'd ever yeah. tasted. Then, you would have loved this, we got a teeny tiny piece of Wagyu beef, and they're like, if it doesn't melt in your mouth, like, we'll send it back, basically what they told me. And it did melt in my mouth.
It did?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It was so marbleized.
Oh my God.
Was just, like, the most succulent, incredible thing. And I'm not even, like, a beef girl, but I was a beef stan
yeah.
after eating this. And it had a delicious...
Reduction
sauce on it. And like a teeny tiny like palm puree on the side. Like, I mean, it was just, everything was spectacular.
Was there anything you didn't care for that much?
Yes, but it was still good. But the thing where I was like, that's enough of that was the main sea scallop. And only because I don't really like raw scallop.
Oh, it was raw.
It was raw scallop with compressed apple cubes.
Right.
So they were like molecular gastronomized
yeah.
apples with yuzu shiso.
I mean, that's the thing with those 10-course meals. You got to accept the fact that one or two might be like, but you kind of have to eat everything.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to eat everything. And then there's definitely, there were so many things where I was blown away.
Yeah.
And just taken somewhere.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's the point of these.
It's an experience.
It's not to go where you can stuff yourself. It's to have these perfect bites.
And we were worried. It's funny because we were worried like that we would still be hungry at the end of this.
Yeah.
And Brendan said, like, we were both agreed. We're like, this is amazing. But he was like, but let's go to In-N-Out after this because, like, you know, we want to be full
yeah.
tonight. It's Valentine's Day. We want to, like, eat a ton of food. We actually were full at the end of this.
Because how long it takes.
And the dessert, they gave us a little basket of mini warm madeleines.
Ooh, yum.
And they were so good. And that also came with like this little tree of little like chocolate confections and then a little shot of hazelnut hot chocolate.
Ooh, yum.
It was just like a perfect meal. It was
yeah.
beautiful. And it's really sad that the restaurant's closing.
I know. I'm so bummed. I should have gone.
It was great. But we talked about on our walk yesterday how like, it would be really fun to try and, I mean, obviously not do it often because it's so goddamn expensive, but like to make a goal to like try and hit up all the Michelin starred restaurants in LA.
Right. No, you know, I think we should.
I mean, it would take many years to do that, like at the pace we want to go, but I kind of would love to, I mean,
it's
like
worth,
we should all go.
Providence has one too.
I really want to go to that one. There's so many of them. I was looking
right.
I was looking at like the official list. We only have like
a lot of them are sushi.
A lot of them are sushi. There's like 30, I think, Michelin starred restaurants in LA.
Right.
And the only one I had gone to before this was Osteria Mazza.
Yes.
Which we love.
Yes.
One of our favorites. Anyway, that was the most exciting meal. Of the year, for sure.
So I was in San Francisco and obviously staying with my nieces who love food. So we did a lot of eating. Probably my most exciting meal was at Burma Love, which was Burmese food. I had never had Burmese food before because I just don't see it. I certainly would have had it. This was so good. Everything was delicious. Even like the fried rice. I was like, this is the best fried rice I've ever had.
Did you have like the tea salad?
Yes.
The tea leaf salad?
The tea leaf salad is like a classic, I think.
Yeah.
That was so good.
So good.
So I had the tea leaf salad. We had the bread that you dip in like a curry sauce. I think it's called Parutha or something. It's like a very thin, flaky whatever. I don't know. I think it's not butter, but it's kind of oil. It has some kind of oil because it's really moist. And then they give you a little side of a chicken curry to dip it in, or you could get a vegetarian, which I've never seen before. I loved it though. I was like, ooh, a little chicken curry. It's like a little dip of it. Warm broth, like a warm curry broth. Everything was so good. Just even the cocktails were really delicious. And yeah, I also went to a really great French bakery. Like this was the kind of bakery that has the line. You have to wait in the line. And it was raining practically the whole time I was there. But we were out there with our umbrellas.
Yeah.
So I was like, we gotta.
Yeah.
It's called Arsico Bakery.
Mm.
And oh my God. I told Rachel, I was just bought a bunch of stuff because we were going to visit a few family members. And I was like, oh, we'll bring stuff. But we all were like, well, we also need to have stuff to eat in the car.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, because we were driving to Richmond. And then we were like, and we have to try everything.
Right.
And everyone was like, but I need one of these for myself. So it just became one of those orders.
Oh my God.
It was like $90 worth of croissants and bakery. So they had like, it was the best almond croissant I've ever had. They had so much of the creamy almond filling in it. I was like, this is how every almond croissant is supposed to be. You want so much of that creamy filling.
Yeah.
They also had a chocolate almond croissant that was so fucking good. And I was like, eh, I don't want that one. And then I tried it. I was like, oh my God, wait, do we get more of these? They also have that, I don't know how to say it, the Cognan An.
Oh yeah, the Queen Amon.
Queen Amon. So this is basically—
Those are good.
This is basically where you're slicing up a croissant and then cooking it in butter and
brûléing
sugar.
It.
Yeah, you're kind of brûléing it. And I got like four of those because I was like, well, I know I want one and everyone's going to, because no one had had them. And
no.
Then I was like, everyone's going to flip out.
Yeah.
And they were warm.
Oh.
And they were so fucking good. And just like, it was all simple pastries. There was nothing like crazy. We got a ham and cheese. We got some plain croissants for like the baby I was visiting loves croissants.
Aww.
Which was really cute.
That's cute.
So we got him a plain croissant. And they had really good scones we got. But yeah, I highly recommend this place if you're in the Bay Area. You gotta go.
What's it called again?
Arsico. So Arsicault Bakery. I'm probably saying it wrong, but it's pretty well known, so you'll be able to find it. But it's goddamn. I was like losing it. I also went to a really good donut place called Johnny's Donuts.
Ooh.
And it was very similar to Sidecar type stuff.
Ooh.
So they had a very limited amount of kind of gourmet donuts, but not those crazy ones where
no.
It's like fucking Fruity Pebbles.
No.
These were really delicious. And I got one that was, it was like a filled donut that had a lime mascarpone filling.
Ooh.
That I swear to God, it was like the best key lime pie. I was like eating it. I was like, this is so good. Like, I couldn't believe, because it was like a risk. You know, where one of those are like, it could be really gross.
Yeah.
But this was not really gross. It was so good. So you got to try. It literally tastes like the filling you like for key lime pie. Like,
yeah.
It was so freaking good. And the donuts were really good. I'm trying to think where else I went. Oh, I do want to give a shout out to one of our listeners. I had a plan to go to the Mission, but it was raining so bad the whole time I was there. I just did not get to do everything I wanted to do, especially if it required outdoor stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she is on Instagram as the Mud Witch. She's a ceramicist. She's an artist. She creates clothing. I think she specializes in really cute plus size clothing. She has a shop in the Mission called Emotion Potion, and you can also follow her on Instagram.
Her stuff is beautiful.
Under Mud Witch. So I really wanted to go visit. I told her I was going to come because I really was going to come,
yeah.
And I just didn't get to the Mission. It was just like a jam-packed weekend, and then the rain created all these issues for a lot of the plans we had. So I really want to try to go. I'm definitely going to plan on going next. Up there more. I love it up there.
I'm trying to go over the summer.
Okay.
I told Brendan I wanted to go over the summer because there's some stuff, family stuff I have to want to do, like help my dad clean out, like my grandparents, some of their stuff.
Right.
But also I really want to go to a ball game.
I had the best trip. I really had so much fun. I love it there. And there was like a million more things I wanted to do. I just fucking ran out of time.
Yeah.
And I was tired because we did so much. I also, the last thing I did take the bus across town to go to the ferry building.
Nice.
So I got some Ricuti, my favorite chocolate. And I also went to Miette, my favorite little sweet shop. The ferry building had a lot of new stuff though.
Oh,
I got some really good empanadas there. There was an empanada stand.
Making me so hungry.
And they had the kind I really love, which is the chicken with green olive and raisins.
Yeah.
The
that's
official.
That's a good
yeah,
one.
That's like the authentic first time I ever had an empanada was someone I know's like house cleaner made empanadas for them. It was like her specialty. And I tried them and I was like, I need, because it was the first one of the, I was telling my nieces, I was like, I think that was one of the first time that I had a sort of savory sweet element, because I was pretty young.
In an empanada.
In like a savory food.
Oh.
I was like one of the first time I remember thinking, it might not have been the first time I had it, but the time I was like,
so you were a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I was younger. I might not have been a teen.
Right.
But I was kind of like, this is really, it seemed weird when I heard what it was, but it tastes really good together. Do you know what I mean? It was like the olives and raisins. I just don't think I knew. It kind of clicked with me finally. It was like one of those moments where I was like, this is really good. Like these type of combinations. And I'm absolutely sure I had them a million times before because I ate a lot of Indian food and that obviously has elements of that as well. It was really good. So that's in the ferry building. And they had kits too, where you could bring home the supplies and make your own. But obviously I was driving home. So I was like, ooh, empanada.
I don't have time for that. I want one right now.
Yeah. So and they had like a little heart one filled with cherries. So I got that one too.
So a sweet one?
They had a sweet empanada. They had so many flavors. So of course I got like two savories and a sweet and shared them with people. The other one I got was filled with a bunch of mushrooms and creme fraiche.
Oh.
It was really good.
So they had some traditional ones and non-traditional.
Yes, but it was mostly traditional, it seemed. And then they had a few that were sort of like, But that mushroom one was really good. Because it was I love mushrooms. They're so good. But the one place I did try to convince, I almost got my nieces to go because there was a reservation available at 10:30. But then we decided it was just too much money. But we will do it next time, was House of Prime Rib.
Oh, that's a classic.
I know.
That's
I was like, should we? They're like, no, it's really hard to get a reservation. You have to do it like months in advance. And I was like, there's one at 10:30.
I would go.
I know.
It was definitely,
we were so tired. It was like the last night. And obviously it's expensive.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay, we'll do it next time.
Yeah.
But I was like, should we? I was like, I kind of want that prime rib with a baked potato. Don't ask me twice. Like,
oh,
I want it.
God.
But it was so freaking fun. I just had the best time up there. I was like going to give my nieces a shout out as if they're a store to visit. So go visit my nieces in San Francisco. They're really great hosts. But they might start I was encouraging them to start like a food TikTok because they know food there and they have really good taste. So maybe when they finally get it started, I'll pimp their TikTok out. They're going to do like cheap food in San Francisco because they said that that's available in like the Bay, LA, New York, but there's not really a good food person doing it in San Francisco.
Right.
So I was like, you should do it because they have a really great palate.
San Francisco food TikTok?
There might be some, but maybe not exactly what they're looking for.
Okay.
Like for younger people. They just might not know also. They felt like there was a need for it.
Okay.
So that's possible. And they're really funny. So I think they would do a good job. And they should do it because I would follow their TikTok. But yeah, it was really such a fun vacation. And I can't remember the last time I had such a fun city trip.
Yeah.
Just to be, I love
jealous.
Being in a freaking city, walking around, like you walk out of the apartment and you're like by stores and fucking restaurants. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I would like to say no one was shitting in the streets. Like, I don't know what, like, it was beautiful. It's a beautiful city. I loved it.
I don't like when people talked shit about San Francisco.
No, I had the best time and it was beautiful. And obviously city, you're going to see some weird things sometimes.
That's just being in a city.
Yeah.
That's just being in a city.
Yeah. I don't know what anyone's talking about. I loved it.
My only gripe with San Francisco is, all the millionaires and billionaires driving generations of families out of their homes. That's my gripe.
That it's just too expensive.
But the cultural aspects of San Francisco, no. I mean, I grew up there. I love it. I will always have a profound love for San Francisco.
No, I had the best time and I do want to go up here more. It was an easy drive and it's just fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, I highly recommend San Francisco as a city.
Giving a plug
to San Francisco.
It is one of the greatest food cities in the country.
That's why it was so hard, because I was like, I ran out of stomach room and time. Like,
no,
I was like, we need to go here. There was a really good Indian right by them that we couldn't get a reservation at that looked really good. I want that Burmese food again. And I didn't even go to the Mission to get tacos or burritos. Like,
you gotta get a burrito.
Yeah, we were talking about how San Francisco is like burritos and LA is tacos.
It's exactly what it is. I mean, I don't eat a lot of burritos here because this is a taco town.
Yeah,
San Francisco is a burrito town.
Yeah, so I'm really bummed I didn't get to do everything I wanted, but I did do a lot. So that is good for me. And in the rain too.
Good for you.
It was fucking pouring on Saturday.
It was pouring here.
That Saturday was like my Mission plan day. And then we had to completely rearrange things just based on not needing to be inside that day. Like, it was too rainy. Oh, I also went to the Japantown Mall.
Nice.
That was really fun. And I got a lot of K-beauty at one of the shops.
Nice.
So that was really fun as well.
I'm happy for you. I'm jealous.
I almost said you should be. No. No, it was so fun. I wish you were there.
I know.
We would have so much fun. We can go up over the summer. Yeah, we would have so much fun there. It's just such a fun town.
We could stay at my dad's house.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I even wanted to do some of the things, like just go to the Japanese tea garden. Like, I like... San Francisco has fun touristy things even,
there's,
you know?
So much to do. It's such a beautiful city. I miss it. I'm definitely going to go over the summer. I was talking to Chris, friend of the pod, Chris Tognotti and Kevin Werkheiser. They have their own podcast.
Yes.
Called Now We Know, which I recommend if you're a millennial and you're super into nostalgia. They recap everything from... Like, they recap, like, old movies and and TV shows from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And they're very funny. I've been friends with Chris Tognotti for 20 years, over 20 years, actually, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go see him when I go up. We're going to go to a ball game. And probably Kevin, too, I imagine. But
yeah, it'll be fun.
So anyway, we will be recording... our Law and Order for Patreon this weekend. We'll also be doing Melrose Place for our other podcast called Bitch Slap, and an after show at some point soon.
Yes.
And I have a great main episode planned that is piggybacking off your episode.
Okay.
I found some great conspiracy theories that I'm excited to talk about.
No, I was coming across a bunch, so I'm excited.
I mean, they're probably some of the ones you came across, but they're insane.
No, there's so many good ones. I mean, it could definitely be a recurring. It would be fun to just do like even small ones, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to be in depth even, just rattle
off.
No,
these are insane ones that probably don't have that much deep research, but they're insane.
Yeah.
Theories.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned for that next week, early next week.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.